Chapter 14, how Queen Morgan le Fay made great sorrow for the death of Accolon, and how she stole away the scabbard from Arthur. Then came tidings unto Morgan le Fay that Accolon was dead, and his body brought unto the church, and how King Arthur had his sword again. But when Queen Morgan wist that Accolon was dead, she was so sorrowful that near her heart to braced. But because she would not it were no, not word, she kept her countenance, and made no semblant of sorrow. But well she wist, and she abode till her brother Arthur came thither, and there should no gold go for her life. And then she went unto Queen Guinevere, and asked her leave to ride into the country. "Ye may abide," said Queen Guinevere, "till your brother, the king, come home." Page 139. "I may not," said Morgan le Fay, "for I have such hasty tidings that I may not tarry." "Well," said Guinevere, "you may depart when you will." So early on the morn, or it was day, she took her horse and rode all that day and most part of the night, and on the morn by noon she came to the same abbey of nuns, whereas lay King Arthur, and she, knowing he was there, she asked where he was. And they answered how he had lain him in his bed to sleep, for he had had but little rest these 3 nights. "Well," said she, "I charge you that none of you awake till I do." And then she alit off her horse, and thought for to steal away Excalibur his sword. And so she went straight into his chamber, and no man durst disobey her commandment. And there she found Arthur asleep in his bed, and Excalibur in his right hand naked. And when she saw that, she was passing heavy that she might not come by the sword without she had awaked him. And then she wist well she had been dead. Then she took the scabbard and went her way on horseback. And when the king awoke and missed his scabbard, he was wroth, and he asked who had been there, and they said his sister, Queen Morgan, had been there, and had put the scabbard under her mantle and was gone. "Alas," said Arthur, "falsely ye have watched me." "Sir," said they all, "we durst not disobey your sister's commandment." "Ah," said the king, "let's fetch the best horse may be found, and bid Sir Ontzlake arm him in all haste, and take another good horse, and ride with me." And so anon the king and Ontzlake were all well armed, and rode after this lady, and so they came by a cross, and found a cowherd, and they asked the poor man if there came any lady late riding that way. "Sir," said this poor man, "right late came a lady riding with 40 horses, and to yonder forest she rode." And then they spurred their horse and followed fast, and within a while Arthur had sight of Morgan le Fay, and then he chased as fast as he might. Page 140. When she espied him following her, she rode a greater pace through the forest till she came to a plain, and when she saw she might not escape, she rode into a lake thereby, and said, "Whatsoever come of me, my brother shall not have this scabbard." And then she let throw the scabbard in the deepest of the water, so it sank, for it was heavy of gold and precious stones. And then she rode into a valley where many great stones were, and when she saw she must be overtake, she shaped herself horse and man by enchantment into a great marble stone. Anon withal came Sir Arthur and Sir Ontzlake, whereas the knight, the king, might know how his sister and her men, and one knight from another. "Ah," said the king, "here may ye see the vengeance of God, and now am I sorry that this misadventure is befall." And then he looked for the scabbard, but it would not be found, so he returned to the abbey, there he came from. So when Arthur was gone, she turned all into the likeness as she and they were before, and said, "Sirs, now may we go where we will." Chapter 15. How Morgan le Fay saved a knight that should have been drowned, and how King Arthur returned home again. Then said Morgan, "Saw ye Arthur, my brother?" "Yea," said her knights, "right well, and that you should have found, and we might have stirred from one stead, asterisk after stead, and asterisk reads, stead as place." Return to text. "For by his army vestal, note one, countenance, he would have caused us to have fled." "I believe you," said Morgan. Anon, after she rode, she met a knight leading another knight on his horse before him, and bound hand and foot blindfold to have drowned him in a fountain. And when she saw this knight so bound, she asked him, "What will ye do with that knight?" page 141. "Lady," said he, "I will drown him." "For what cause?" she asked. "For I found him with my wife, and she shall have the same death anon." "That were pity," said Morgan le Fay. "Now, what say ye, knight? Is it truth that he saith of you?" And she said to the knight that should be drowned, "Nay, truly, madam, he saith not right on me." "Of whence be ye," said Morgan le Fay, "and of what country?" "I am of the court of King Arthur, and my name is Manassen, cousin unto Accolon of Gaul." "Ye say well," said she, "and for the love of ye shall be delivered, and ye shall have your adversary in the same case ye be in." So Manassen was loosed, and the other knight bound, and anon Manassen unarmed him, and armed himself in his harness, and so mounted on horseback, and the knight afore him, and so threw him into the fountain and drowned him. And then they rode unto Morgan again, and asked if she would anything unto our King Arthur. "Tell him that I rescued thee, not for the love of him, but for the love of Accolon, and tell him I fear him not while I can make me and them be that be with me in likeness of stones, and let him wit I can do much more when I see my time." And so she departed unto the country of Gore, and there was she richly received, and made her castles and town passing strong, for always she dread much King Arthur. And when the king had well rested him at the abbey, he rode into Camelot, and found his queen and his barons right glad of his coming. And when they heard of this strange adventure, as is afore rehearsed, then all had marvel of the falsehood of Morgan le Fay. Many knights wished her burnt. Then came Manassen to court, and told the king of his adventure. Page 142. "Well," said the king, "she is a kind sister. I shall so be avenged on her, and I live that all Christendom shall speak of it." So in the morn there came a damosel from Morgan to the king, and she brought with her the richest mantle that ever was seen in the court, for it was set as full of precious stones as one might stand by another, and there were the richest stones that ever the knight the king saw. And the damosel said, "Your sister sendeth you this mantle, and desireth that ye should take this gift of her, and in what thing she hath offended you, she will amend it at your own pleasure." And when the king beheld this mantle, it pleased him much, but he said but little. Chapter 16. How the damosel of the lake saved King Arthur from a mantle which should have burnt him. With that came the damosel of the lake unto the king, and said, "Sir, I must speak with you in private." "Say on," said the king, "what ye will." "Sir," said the damosel, "put not on you this mantle till ye have seen more, and in no wise let it not come on you, nor on no knight of yours, till ye command the bringer thereof to bring it upon her." "Well," said King Arthur, "it shall be done as ye counsel me." And then he said unto the damosel that came from his sister, "Damosel, this mantle that ye have brought me, I will see it upon you." "Sir," she said, "it will not beseem me to wear a king's garment." "By my head," said Arthur, "ye shall wear it, or it come on my back, or any man's that here is. And so the king made it to be put upon her, and forthwithal she fell down dead, and nevermore spake word after, and burnt to coals. Page 143. Then was the king wonderly wroth more than he was to forehand, and said unto King Uriens, "My sister, your wife, is alway about to betray me, and well I wot either ye or my nephew, your son, is of counsel with her to have me destroyed. But as for you," said the king to King Uriens, "I deem not greatly that ye be of her counsel, for Accolon confessed to me by his own mouth that she would have destroyed you as well as me, therefore I hold you excused. But as for your son, Sir Owain, I hold him suspect. Therefore I charge you, put him out of my court." Sir Owain was discharged, and when Sir Gawain wist that, he had made him ready to go with him, and said, "Whoso banisheth my cousin Germain shall banish me." So they two departed, and rode into a great forest, and so they came to an abbey of monks, and there were well lodged. But when the king wist that Sir Gawain was departed from the court, there was great sorrow among all the estates. "Now," said Sir Gaheris, "Gawain's brother, we have lost lasts two good nights for the love of one. So in the morn they heard their masses in the abbey, and so they rode forth till they came to a great forest. And then was Sir Gawain ware in a valley by a turret, 12 fair damosels and 2 knights armed on great horses, and the damosels went to and fro by a tree. And then was Sir Gawain ware how there hung a white shield on that tree, and ever as the damosels came by it, they spit upon it and threw some mire upon the shield. Page 144, Chapter 17. How Sir Gawain and Sir Owain met with 12 fair damosels, and how they complained on Sir Marhaus. Then Sir Gawain and Sir Owain went and saluted them, and asked why they did that despite the shield. Sirs, said the damosels, we shall tell you. There is a knight in this country that oweth this white shield, and he is a passing good man of his hands, but he hateth all ladies and gentlewomen, and therefore we do all this despite to the shield. I shall say you, said Sir Gawain, it beseemeth evil a good knight to despise all ladies and gentlewomen, and peradventure, though he hate you, he hath some certain cause. Note 1. And peradventure, he loveth in some other places ladies and gentlewomen, and to be loved again, and he be such a man of prowess as ye speak of. Now, what is his name? Sir, said they, his name is Marhaus, the king's son of Ireland. I know him well, said Sir Owain. He is a passing good knight, as any is alive, for I saw him once proved at a joust where many knights were gathered, and that time there might no man withstand him. Ah, said Sir Gawain, damosels, methinketh ye are to blame, for it is to suppose he that hung that shield there, he will not be long therefrom. And then may those knights match him on horseback, and that is more your worship than thus, for I will abide no longer to see a knight's shield dishonored. And thereupon Sir Owain and Gawain departed a little from them, and then were they where Sir Marhaus came riding on a great horse straight toward them, and when the 12 damosels saw Sir Marhaus, they fled unto the turret, as they were wild, so that some of them fell by the way. Then the one of the knights of the tower dressed his shield, and said on high, Sir Marhaus, defend thee. And so they ran together, that the knights brake his spear on Marhaus, and Marhaus smote him so hard that he brake his neck and the horse's back. And that saw the other knight of the turret, and dressed him toward Marhaus, and they met so eagerly together that the knight of the turret was soon smitten down, horse and man stark dead. Page 145. Chapter 18. How Sir Marhaus jousted with Sir Gawain and Sir Owain, and overthrew them both. And then Sir Marhaus rode unto his shield, and saw how it was defouled, and said, of this despite I am a part avenged. But for her love that gave me this white shield, I shall wear thee, and hang mine where thou was. And so he hanged it about his neck. And then he rode straight unto Sir Gawain and to Sir Owain, and asked them what they did there. They answered him that they came from King Arthur's court for to see adventures. Well, said Sir Marhaus, here am I ready an adventurous knight that will fulfill any adventure that ye will desire, and so departed from them to fetch his range. Let him go, said Sir Owain unto Sir Gawain, for he is a passing good knight as any is living. I will not by my will that any of us were matched with him. Nay, said Sir Gawain, not so it were shame to us were he not assayed, were he never so good a knight. Well, said Sir Owain, I will assay him. For I am more weaker than ye, and if he smite me down, then may ye revenge me. So these two knights came together with great random, and that Sir Owain smote Sir Marhaus, that his spear brast in pieces on the shield, and Sir Marhaus smote him so sore that horse and man he bare to the earth, and hurt Sir Owain on the left side. Then Sir Marhaus turned his horse and rode toward Gawain with his spear, and said, and when Sir Gawain saw that, he dressed his shield, and they adventured their spears, and they came together with all the might of their horses, that either knight smote other so hard in midst of their shields. But Sir Gawain's spear brake, but Sir Marhaus's spear held, and therewith Sir Gawain and his horse rushed down to the earth. And lightly Sir Gawain rose on his feet and pulled out his sword,